I was counting. That's a lot of good music from five men and seven women. Somebody say amen. Amen. Wonderful. Just wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Our sanctuary choir is always a blessing to us. Good morning. I said good morning.
Good morning.
I missed being with you last Sabbath. I was in Chicago preaching for the Stratford Memorial Church for their prison ministry day. Enjoyed that very much, but it's always good to be back home, Carl, with my family. Tacoma Park is my family. And then I have to tip my hat to you for being willing to brave this. Let's just be honest, we're having some sorry weather. Let's just say it out loud. And I know we're thankful to the Lord for life and health and strength. I don't want to sound the least bit, David, ungrateful, but it's just sorry weather. Rain, chilly, chilly, rain, rain, chilly. And it looks like we just can't get into those 70s and stay there.
Yeah.
But it's coming. I don't know when, but it's coming. But I'm glad that you didn't let the chilly, rainy weather keep you away. I want to take some time today and unfold the seventh seal. The seventh seal. Even though we're going through a period where we're having a lot of special days, I still want to keep our minds on the book of Revelation. What do you say? And so, small though our group is, you get a chance to look with me at the seventh seal. Seventh seal. It's a strange wording. Go back to, thank you, Sister Sonia, for reading that. Go back to Revelation 8 and verse 1. Just a cryptic little verse there. Revelation 8 and verse 1. One wonders why it's even there, and yet it's all the information we have about the seventh seal. It's all we have. One verse. When he opened the seventh seal, there was what?
Silence
in heaven. And then it takes the time, Carl, to give us the length of the time of the silence, which is a clue. That should be a clue to you that there's something special going on. It takes the time to say that the silence was for how long? Half an hour. I mean, why? Why even put that, Donnell, in the Bible? Clearly, it's an attention getter. Silence for the space of half an hour. Well, let's pray and let's look at it. Guide our minds, Lord, today, and feed our spirits. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of chapter 3, at the end of the seven churches, we've studied those, we find Jesus standing outside. Now, by now you've learned your pastor. I always review. Always review. Then chapter 4 opens this door in heaven, and we see God, the Almighty. But more than that, Brother Smith, we see for the first time beings from earth in heaven. Remember that? Chapters 4 and 5, they're the 24 elders, and we discover that they were redeemed from the earth. Revelation 5. And that, Sonia, excites me because it lets me know that in spite of the negative ending of the seven churches, Jesus standing outside, knocking, trying to get into his church, that in spite of that, Chapter 5 reveals that there are going to be some folk from earth who make it to heaven. Boy, that was a weak amen. I guess I have to help you out. Amen. Amen. I mean, all this scuffling and sacrificing we've been doing, trying to follow the Lord. Don't you want to know that somebody's going to make it? Somebody's going to make it. So that's in chapter 5. And we're reminded of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, well, there's 24, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's good news. Chapter 6, the seals are open. They're open. We see the church go from white to red to black to pale. And of course, what's going on here? Let's go back to the seven churches. Remember the first church, Ephesus, the pronouncement that God's concern, the pronouncement of God's concern at the beginning of the seven churches is that Ephesus has lost its first love. So that is the, listen, the underlying issue in Revelation is our relationship to Jesus, and the problem is we have not loved him as we ought. And you think about that in the light of John 3:16, for God so loved. Well, where is our so loved? And so from Revelation 2, Tony, running right on down, the problem is a gradual diminishing of our love. And I have to ask the question. I mean, I'm preaching this morning, so preachers ask questions to make you think. And the question is your love for Christ growing or diminishing? Because when all is said and done, the people who go into the kingdom will be those who've maintained a right relationship with Jesus. Would somebody please say amen? It's all about relationship, not doctrines, relationship. Now, relationship will certainly produce, David, a response of obedience. But we're going to heaven because God loves us, not because we're holy. He loves us. And our response of love to him in obedience and following his word, he says, I want Henry with me always. Always. So there's a love issue. And so in the seven seals, we see this falling away. And then in the fifth seal, we see people who are being persecuted because they love the Lord. And they cry out from the altar, how long, O Lord, how long? And then we move to the sixth seal. There's the second coming of Jesus. Now it gets interesting. It gets interesting. The sixth seal is the second coming of Jesus, Sonia. So what's left? What does the seventh seal have to offer? Does it get any better than the second coming of Jesus? In fact, you have to almost ask yourself the question, why even deal with the seventh seal? All that I need to know, I know. He's going to come and bless your heart. In the sixth seal, we find out that there's going to be in heaven a number which no man can number. Forget the 24. Hey! Oh, excuse me. Forget the 24. So many people are going to make it, they can't be counted. Who's shouting? Who's shouting? Who's saying amen? Who's saying hallelujah? That 24 number scares me to death because that ain't many folks. We got more than 24 people here right now. I mean, somebody's going to be left out. But John says, Henry, don't worry about the 24. They're just a sampling. One day there'll be so many folks from earth in heaven, you cannot count them. Y'all can be calm. I can't be calm about that. And you see, the first part of chapter 7 gets me nervous because it sees 144,000. That's a tight number, too. I mean, you got 34,000 folk in the Potomac Conference. Going Allegheny East, that's another 40-some thousand. That's 90. 144 ain't enough, folk. Hey! But God said, don't worry about the... In fact, you know, Ellen White says, she says, do not worry about being in the 144,000. You know, Adventists for years debated who were 144,000. Great debates, lectures, theology, books written. 144,000. Folk, it's a nice number. I ain't worried about it. Here's the group I'm trying to get in. The number which no man can number. I didn't figure it out, Smith. There's room in that number for me and my wife. Yes, sir. We can get in that one. So with all that good news in chapter 7, why? chapter 8, verse 1. And there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. Well, at the end of the seven churches, John is left wondering, who will open their hearts to let Jesus in? At the end of the seven seals, John is left wondering, who will be able to stand? Well, the answer is immediate in chapter 7. The curtain, the cosmic curtain, is drawn back, and we see this angel. What's the angel doing in chapter 7? Remember what he's doing? As the seal of God, sealing people in their foreheads. And we learned in our last sermon that the seal, listen to me, the seal is placed on those who have resisted the pressure. Remember that sermon about pressure? The pressure to conform to the world. Why the silence? This is strange, because all the other seals, Rita, are full of activity. In the first six seals, there are horses and voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquakes and cataclysms and great proportions of disaster. All this activity in the first six seals, and then suddenly the seventh seal, what do we have? Silence. Shh. Shh. We're not prepared for it, Anwar, because there's been so much action and activity. Another noticeable factor is that the other seals describe events on earth. But the seventh seal describes events where? In heaven. Suddenly, Molly, the drama shifts to heaven. All this sixth seal confusion on earth, but now we shift to heaven, and in heaven, it's quiet. It's quiet. Another distinction of the seventh seal from the other six is that the first seals cover long periods of time in some cases, but the last of the seals covers one half hour. One half hour. I'm going to break that down for you. Finally, the other six seals follow each other consecutively in the Revelation narrative, all of them enfolded in one chapter. But the seventh seal does not show up till two chapters later, hanging out there by itself. And by the way, it's interesting, when I preach on the seven trumpets, you'll see it. The seventh seal appears to be an introduction to the seven trumpets. Now, it's clear, are you with me so far?
Yes.
It's clear that the seventh seal has something to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus at the end of time. After all, the sixth seal ends with the coming of the Lord. I'm teaching now, so you're listening. And the seventh seal appears to deal with events that immediately follow the second coming of Jesus. So whatever is happening in the seventh seal, it comes right after the second coming. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. Because at the end of the sixth seal, the Lord has already come. So, what's with this silence? Numbers 14:34. According, the Bible says, to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days for each day, you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely, 40 years, you shall know my rejection. Now, in the Bible, in prophecy, 1 day equals 1 year. Say that. 1 day equals 1 year. In Bible prophecy, 1 day equals how much? 1 year. Ezekiel 4:6 says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall the truth be established. Ezekiel 4:6. We find this same concept. Ezekiel 4:6. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side. You shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. What does the next sentence say? A day for each year. So this is Bible prophetic math. In Bible prophetic math, 1 day equals 1 year. Now, the Jewish calendar had 360 days to each year. And so in Bible prophecy, each month has 30 days. Or 1 month in Bible prophecy represents 30 years. 1 week would be 7 years. But if in Bible prophecy, 1 day is 1 year, then 1/24th, for a day has how many hours? A day has how many hours? Then 1/24th of that day or year would be what? 2 weeks. Somebody's a mathematician. But there's silence in heaven for how long? 1/2 hour. So the 1/2 hour represents 1 week, 7 days. You got it? Some are nodding, some are going. 1/2 hour is 1 week. 1 week. So now, maybe I'm different from you. But see, I'm instantly, Verona, I'm curious, why is heaven quiet for a week? I mean, is anybody stirred up with me? And the Bible takes the time to mention it, so it must be important. The Bible takes the time to identify it, so it must be important. Must be important. Well, do you know that heaven is a noisy place? Oh, yeah. Let's read it. Revelation 5. Silence in heaven is not normal. Revelation 5. Revelation 5. And look at verses 11 through 14. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of what? Heard what? Voice. Is voice sound? Of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And look at this, Anwar. The number of them was 10,000, 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a whole lot of people. Does that sound quiet? Come on, somebody talk. Does that sound quiet? Saying with a loud voice. Not only are they up there, there's a lot of them there. What? They're loud. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches. Then verse 13, every creature which is in heaven on the earth joins in. But in heaven, you got all these folk singing loud, praising God in heaven. It's noisy in heaven, but I just read a text. Silence. Did they stop praising? Did they stop singing? For a whole week? See, I'm working on you. I'm working on your head. I'm working on your mind. I'm looking at your face. I got you. In Job 38, verse 7, it talks about the fact. And look, go back to Revelation. I mean, the angels have reason. Their praise is amazing. Remember, they've lost 1/3 of their colleagues to the devil. They've seen some rough days. They've seen the cross of Jesus Christ, their leader, maimed and brutalized, but they're praising and singing. And then Job 37, we find that when the Lord made the earth, it says the sons of God shouted together as they watched God develop the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the things they're on. They couldn't stand it. The function of the atom, the angels couldn't handle it. They saw Adam and Eve looking just like God. They said, "Hey!" They started shouting in heaven over the creation of the earth, and they've been shouting and singing ever since. So how in the world are you going to keep them rascals quiet for half an hour? Angels like to sing. They like to shout. They like to praise. How are you going to hold them down for a week? Heaven is a noisy place. There's another reason why they shout. Look at Luke 15 and verse 7. Luke 15 and verse 7. I'm trying to show you why there should never be silence in heaven. Luke 15 and verse 7. I say unto you likewise. Watch this one now. I'm going to enjoy this one. I say unto you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner repenteth than over 99 just persons who need a repentance. Do you know that every time somebody on earth accepts Jesus Christ, the angels shout? And I understand that the Adventist church, we baptize 3,000 people a day. And we're not the only one winning people to Christ. So if angels shout every time somebody accepts Jesus, then it's shouting in heaven all the time. So how in the world are you going to keep them quiet for a week? Look at David's face. He's trying to figure that thing out. He's trying to figure that thing out. How are you going to keep angels quiet for a whole week when, Rita, every time you give your heart afresh to Jesus, every time you say no to self and sin, every time you gain a victory in Christ, they start singing. Your guardian angel says, "Hey, my charge just gained the victory. Let's sing another song." My picture is that heaven is never quiet. But for a half hour, 7 days, it's quiet. Matthew 24. I will not drag this out any longer. Matthew 24, 30 and 31. I think I'm going to get an answer. Matthew 24, what chapter? 24. Yeah, 24. You want to mark this thing down in your Bible. Matthew 24, 30 and 31. Read it with me, come on. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear where, church? And then all the will mourn, and they will see coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Read on. And he shall send his When Jesus comes to gather the people from earth, all the angels, hey, all the angels are coming with him. We're so special that the angels say to Jesus, "Look, them folk down there have worn us out. Now you're going to get them. We ain't staying up here. We've invested life and time. We have done warp travel back and forth trying to get Henry right out of trouble. And now you're going to get him and bring, I want to go myself," says my guardian angel, "and get him myself so I know my angel ain't going to be in heaven." "And I see a number which no man can number." So a whole lot of angels are coming with God. Sounds to me, if the angels are here, not there, sounds like silence to me up there. We are the reason why there's silence in heaven. so special that heaven says, we're not going to leave even a small group up here to keep the door. The earth has worn heaven out. Finally, we're going to bring them with us. And so they empty it out. Takes them about 3.5 days to get here. Gathers up 3.5 days to go back. That's 7 days, so at least all the non-Sabbath keepers who are saved can keep one Sabbath. Come on, somebody. And while we're here, ain't nothing going up there. And John sees it. What do you see? Silence in heaven. Why? The people of heaven have come to save the people on earth. Took me a long time to get there, but I got there. I wanted you to feel it and see it and sense it and rejoice in it. Rick, you're so special that heaven says, we all got to come and get Rick. He's been a problem the whole time he's been down there. We all going to come and get him. We want to see him for ourselves, saved by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful? I said, is that wonderful? Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I see the young man smiling. Isn't that good news? You're so special. Heaven will empty itself to get you. Raise your head up, man. You're something else. I'm so special that the praise, Carl, shifts from heaven to earth. Look at Matthew 25 and verse 31. Just make it a little bit juicier. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all, how many?
All.
How many?
All.
I want to make sure I want you to know I'm preaching the Bible. I didn't make this up. All the angels where? With him. Those praising angels, those singing angels, those shouting angels, all come here. You ought to leave church this morning knowing that planet Earth is the most special place in the universe. Only this planet could empty heaven. Straighten your back. Shannon, you're special. Lift your chin. Wally, you're special. Heaven cannot stay where it is. Angels must come. Can you picture this great parade from earth to heaven? Human beings stretched out for millions of miles. Angels by their side. And every time we think about where we're going, we start shouting all over again. They could hear us in heaven, but ain't nobody there. We're all together going back at warp speed through Orion. And finally, when we get there, then there's going to be noise in heaven like there's never been noise before, because now, not just the angels, but all the saved of earth will make heaven ring with praise and joy and celebration. I want to be in that number. I want to be in that number. I want you folks who are watching me this morning to be in that number. When the salvation of the earth creates the most special and precious moment in the history of the universe, the salvation of the human race. Why would you be in the wrong place when there's silence in heaven? Why would you be hiding beneath a rock? Why would you be destroyed when the saved of earth are gathered with the sons of God, the angels, moving with our Creator to the place called paradise? An event so special that for a whole week, heaven goes quiet because Henry has been saved. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord my God, when I, in awesome wonder, consider all that you have done. We bow our heads in submission this morning, our bodies and minds tingling with the good news. There's going to be a moment when this little planet affects all of heaven, changing the atmosphere. In my imagination, before Jesus comes, he takes one more look through the holy city. It's empty. It's silent. But he knows when he comes back in 7 days, it's going to be filled with the saved of the sons of Adam. Adam himself will lead us, hallelujah, through the pearly gates. Lord Jesus, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. We commit ourselves. We commit ourselves. That heaven will be quiet because I'm coming. I didn't miss the trip. I'm coming. May each person in his heart today say to themselves, heaven's going to be quiet because I'm on the way there. May we make that commitment. If that's your desire, just raise your hand right now. Your head is bowed, but your hand is up. You're saying, keep that hand up. You're saying, when heaven is quiet, it's because I'm on the way there. And you make that commitment today. And you, my friend, hand is there. Hand can go down now. And you, my friend, watching me online, I pray that you raised your hand right there in your living room, in the bedroom, in the kitchen, wherever you are, you raised your hand. That when heaven is quiet, it's because you're on the way there with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To this end we have prayed. And all the people said, amen. Amen.